بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. Today this is our 60th session, session number 60. Reading from Arabic lessons in Fiqh, level 3, Al-Mustawa Thalith, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And our topic today is a continuation of Kitab al-Hajj, the Book of Pilgrimage, specifically the subtitle the shurut, or the preconditions which make Hajj obligatory. Yani shurut wujub al-hajj. Shurut wujub al-hajj. And this topic is covered on pages 78, 79, and 80. On pages 78, 79, and 80. And perhaps we're going to read also a little bit from some of the secondary sources. And from Bulugh al-Maram, we're going to look at some of these hadith that are mentioned in our discussion tonight in Bulugh al-Maram, the text of the hadith that came in Bulugh al-Maram, and also some of the commentary of Shaykh Safir Rahman, Mubarak 40, Rahimahullah. So we're going to look in Bulugh al-Maram on pages 208 and 209, and we're going to also take a couple of, maybe some comments from Al-Wajiz, Fiqh al-Sunnah, Kitab al-Aziz on page 237. And there are also some very important comments in Fiqh al-Ibadat by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, pages 306 to 309, and al-Mulakhas al-Fiqhi by Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, pages 273 and 274. I don't think there's any comments in the Ikhtiyarat al-Albani, but the Hajj is dealt with in pages 233 to 252, but I don't think there's any comments on the Shurut in that particular section from that particular book. In any case, let's get right into our topic. Before I read though, I just want to say, I don't know if I mentioned last week, I'm not sure. I intended to mention that because of the change in the times of the prayers, and especially the Iqamah here in the masjid, we want to try to start this class a little bit earlier. We have been starting at 5 o'clock. We want to really try to start after the Salat, at a quarter to 5, yani at 4:45. So I asked, somebody send me an email to remind me to send the notification to the people who are not attending in the masjid, who are following the class online, so that they can be with us on time at 4:45. And by the way, the first class also, we're going to be adjusting the times for the first, second and third classes, any of the earlier classes before this class. So please take note of that if you're attending any of the other classes. Okay, again, we're on page 78. Arabic Lessons in Fiqh, Level 3, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. The topic is entitled Shurut Wujub Al-Hajj. What do we mean by Shurut Wujub Al-Hajj? Yani, the conditions for the obligation of Hajj. Yani, the conditions that make it obligatory on a person to perform Hajj. Yani, is everybody obligated to make Hajj? No. It depends. If they fulfill the conditions, the preconditions that make it obligatory, then yes. If they don't fulfill those conditions, then it's not obligatory upon them. So there are conditions, and Hajj is a pillar of Islam. Okay, so it's something that every Muslim should be looking forward to participating in. However, it being obligatory on a person rests upon them having fulfilled the conditions that make it obligatory. Yani, everybody might not be able. There are certain factors that we want to consider. In the beginning of this topic, it outlines the summary of this affair. What are the shurut for wujub al-hajj? And by the way, we're going to talk about not only the shurut wujub al-hajj, but we're also going to talk about sihat al-hajj. Yani, when the hajj will be valid, from whom it is valid, and who it is not valid from. And ijza as well. Yani, when a person performs hajj, will it eliminate that responsibility from their record? Meaning that it will count as having performed the obligatory Hajj, and therefore it's not obligatory for them to perform it again after that. And if there are some people who might perform Hajj, there are some cases in which a person perform Hajj, but it doesn't suffice to fulfill the obligation of the obligatory Hajj. Like a minor, like a child, okay? Maybe they performed Hajj when they were a child, and that Hajj is valid, but it doesn't suffice them for the obligatory Hajj of once in a lifetime. When they reach adulthood, the age of responsibility, then they will have to perform it again if they fulfill the other conditions, and so on, like this. So these are three different things: the shurut for wujub al-hajj, that makes it obligatory on somebody, and that's our real topic. But there's also mention here of the siha, yani when the hajj is valid, from whom it is valid and who is not valid from, and the ijza, yani when it is a person is credited when they perform the hajj and they're given credit for having performed the obligatory hajj. Now, so it says here, yushtaritu liwujub al-hajj ma yali, yani the following things are the things that are conditions for the obligation of hajj, for hajj being obligatory upon someone. The first, by the way, without looking at the book, from our memories, what are the preconditions or the shurut of wujub al-hajj? For example, one of them would be al-Islam. Absolutely, right? I mean, how can hajj be obligatory on somebody who's not a Muslim? Doesn't mean, though, that they're not called to account for it. Because everybody is responsible to worship Allah, whether they accept Islam willingly or not. So they will be called to account, but it's not an obligation upon the person in this world, yani until they entered into Islam. Okay, second, what else? At-tamyiz, okay, yani tamyiz. Or we can say balug, yani that they reach the age of responsibility. Another? Al-istita'a, absolutely. Person has to be able. Person not able, then how can they be held responsible for making hajj? What else? Huh? Al-aql, okay. That the person has to be sane. Yani a person who's insane, they're not held responsible, they're not obligated to make hajj. I mean, the hajj wouldn't be accepted from them if they made it. So they're not obligated. And one more? One more that's not obvious. Hurriya. Yani the person is free. If a person is in bondage, if they're in slavery, and they don't have control over their life, or their movement, or their time, then they're not obligated to make hajj. However, if they performed hajj, it's valid. It's valid. But they're not obligated. And like the child who performs hajj, the hajj is valid. But if they reach adulthood, they have to perform the hajj once in a lifetime, the child. And the slave, if they were freed from slavery, even though they had performed hajj in slavery, if they were freed from slavery, then they have to perform it again if they became able. So this is, huh?
Even though they mature when they
went? Doesn't matter. Because the slave, is under the control of their master. And they can only do what they're allowed to do. But if they became free, that hajj that they performed in slavery is valid. But it doesn't, suffice them for the hajj of once in a lifetime. When they became free, then they're responsible as a free person. On their own free will, with their own means and money and whatever, on their own time to perform the hajj for the sake of Allah, if they are able to. That's a different topic altogether. That's a little bit different. Yeah, and there's a lot of difference of opinion about that. That's not crystal clear. That's not crystal clear.
Huh?
If it's valid, they will get rewarded for it. No doubt, they will get rewarded for it. Yani, if a child performs hajj, it's valid, and they will get some kind of reward. Nam. But as far as the obligation of performing hajj once in a lifetime, the person has to do that when they're free. When they're adult, when they are making their own choice and using their own means to perform the hajj. But as far as reward, there's no doubt. If it's valid, there has to be reward. There's no worship that a person performs which is accepted as being valid, except that there's reward for it. There has to be reward. Absolutely. Except that, as we'll see in the hadith about the child, that there's also reward for whoever brings the child, who carries the child, who spends on the child, who troubles themselves to take a child hajj, there's reward for them. But that doesn't mean there's no reward for the child or for the slave who performed the hajj. Now, so yashtarit li wujub al hajj ma yali, the following conditions have to be present in order for the hajj to be obligatory upon somebody.
For the woman, is not a mahram.
And for the woman also, she has to have a mahram. Somebody from her family, like her husband or her father or her brother, a male that she's not allowed to marry, permanently prohibited from marriage. She has to have a mahram to accompany her, and we're going to talk about this under the title of istitaa. Comes under the title of istitaa because the woman is not able. Like the person who doesn't have money is not able, or the person who doesn't have safe passage is not able, or the woman is not able unless she has a mahram. And there's some details about this we'll talk about when we come to it. Now. If a husband goes to Hajj, a wife gets a reward as well. I don't know about that. Now that one we have to look and try to research it. But I don't know how that could be. That if a man makes Hajj, his wife gets the reward also. I don't think so. Because the woman, she is individually on her own also responsible to make Hajj. And she's required to make Hajj. If she's able, she's required to make Hajj. But if her husband goes, then she will get some kind of reward. I mean, there's no doubt. If she helps and facilitates and makes the way for him, she'll get some reward for helping him, but not reward for Hajj, though. Hajj you have to make. Now, Allahu A'lam. I mean, I've never heard that before. I've never read it any place, and I don't think it's not, like, according to principles of Islam, it doesn't. Yeah, and it seemed possible that she would get the reward, except the reward for whatever she did to help him. And if you, and whoever helps somebody to do good gets reward, right?
No.
But the reward for Hajj, because her husband went, maybe if her husband went and she helped him, she would get reward for helping him. But what if she didn't help him? Rather, she tried to stop him, told him, don't go, don't spend all that money on going to Hajj. Then what kind of reward should she get if he insists on going anyway? And helping him, there's some reward for anybody who helps somebody to do good. Just inviting somebody to do good, calling somebody to do good, informing them about good. If they do it, you get reward for that. But as far as the reward for Hajj, Allahu A'lam. We're going to have to limit the questions, okay? I'm sorry.
Okay.
We are going to have to limit the questions, because if we don't do that, what happens, we're not going to cover the material, right? And I really don't, but it's probably better that, yani, like what we do on Friday, we take the questions at the end. Unless something I'm saying is not clear. But as far as the different things that come to your mind as we're talking, no. Let's try to limit, inshallah. Please. Barakallahu feekum. Okay, so what are the conditions that necessitate a person performing Hajj? Make it obligatory upon somebody to make Hajj. Number one, al-Islam. Number one, al-Islam. That the person should be a Muslim. Number two, al-Bulug. Al-Bulug. That a person reached the age of responsibility where, yani, the obligations in Islam became upon them, yani, came applicable to them, like Salat and so on. Number three, Al-Aqlu. Al-Aqlu, that the person is Aqil, that they are in control of their faculties, their mental faculties. Person is sane. Number three, Al-Hurriya, that the person is free, yani, in control of their physical being, their time, their wealth, their property, and so on. Huh? Number four, Al-Hurriya. Number five, al-istita'atu. Al-istita'atu, yani, having the ability. And this consists of a number of different factors, which we'll talk about each one of them in detail. Okay, five things. Al-Islam, al-Bulug, al-Aql. Some of the scholars, like Sheikh Uthaymeen said, al-Islam, al-Aql, wal-Bulug. Yani, in that order. And perhaps there's a reason for it, but in any case, no problem. Yani, al-Islam, al-Bulug, al-Aql, al-Hurriya, and al-istita'a. Al-Islam, the age of responsibility, being sane, being free, and having the ability, all that that entails. By the way, what would that entail, having the ability? The person, first obvious thing is what? Okay, physical ability, health, being able to travel. Financial ability, having the money to travel. Okay, financial ability means having the provision to go and to come back. And for a woman, it would be also having a mahram, somebody who can accompany her. Okay, there's an opinion that is attributed to the Shafi'iyya madhab. I'm not saying it's attributed to al-Imam al-Shafi'i. I said Shafi'iyya madhab. That a woman can travel in a group of righteous, pious women. But that opinion is a weak opinion. Indeed, it's a weak opinion. Indeed, it's a weak opinion. But whatever. Anyway, that's an opinion. Now, what we know and what we are clear about is that a woman has to have a mahram, a person who is from the prohibited degrees of marriage, who she's permanently prohibited from marrying, an adult, who is sane, who is capable of watching over and taking care of her. And also, there has to have, a person has to have the means of transportation and safe passage to be able to get, if they are living outside of Mecca, to be able to get there from wherever they are coming from. Okay, these are five things. Each one of them are discussed in some detail. And as we go through them, inshallah, there's some evidences, some hadith that I mentioned. I'm going to look at some of the commentary in Bulugh al-Maram as we go through the hadith that I mentioned here in our textbook. The first of those things is al-Islam. It says here, فَأَمَّا شَرْطَ الْإِسْلَامِ فَإِنَّهُ مُشْتَرَطٌ فِي كُلِّ عِبَادَةٍ وَهُوَ شَرْطَ صِحَّةٍ فَلَا يَصِحُّ الْحَجْ مِنْ كَافِرٍ. Yani, as far as the first condition, the condition of Islam, this is the condition, yani, if a person is a Muslim and they fulfill the other conditions, this is the first condition that has to be present in order for it to be obligatory upon somebody to make Hajj. They have to be a Muslim. We wouldn't say that a Christian and a Jew and a pagan, yani, that they have to make Hajj. We don't say that. We say they have to worship Allah, naam. And whatever Allah has commanded the people with, they have to do that, and they'll be accountable for that on Yawm al-Qiyamah. But we don't say to the Christian, it's time for dhuhr, yalla, come into masjid and pray. Naam. But on Yawm al-Qiyamah, he will be called to account that he didn't pray. He didn't worship Allah with the worship that Allah ordained for the whole of humanity. But we don't say it's obligatory for him when time for salat, they have to come into masjid and pray. When it's time for hajj, they have to go to hajj. No. So, the first condition is Islam. This is a condition for every act of worship. Not just for hajj. For every act of worship. For every act of worship. A condition is, yani, Islam. وَهُوَ شَرْطْ صِحَّةٍ. And not only is it a condition for hajj to be obligatory, but it's also a condition for the validity of the hajj. If a person performed it, and they were not a Muslim, yani, they pretended to be a Muslim, and they got a fake passport or whatever, or they got somebody to sign some pages saying they're Muslim, and they wanted to see the hajj, so they could write about it for the newspapers or magazines or whatever. And they got in, and they performed hajj. Well, hajj is invalid. It's not valid. So this is also a shart for what? Sihhat al-hajj. For the validity of the hajj. A person has to be a Muslim. If they're not a Muslim, hajj is not valid. In the same way that a kafir comes in a masjid with us and joins the line in praise, hajj, salah is not valid. Because what? Because this is a condition for the validity of worship, that a person has to be a Muslim. فَلَا يَصِحُّ الْحَجْ مِنَ الْكَافِرِ. So the hajj performed by a kafir is not valid. It's not valid. Number two, وَأَمَّا الْبُلُوغ فَهُوَ شَرْط وُجُوب وَإِجْزَاء. يعني شَرْط وُجُوب وَإِجْزَاءٍ. Yani, بلوغ, the person reached the age of responsibility. This is a condition in order for hajj to be obligatory upon someone. And it's also a condition in order for it to be counted. Yani, for that person to be accredited with having performed the hajj that is obligatory once in a lifetime. Meaning that if a person was a child and they didn't reach the age of responsibility and they performed hajj, well, their hajj is valid. But if they reached adulthood and they became able with the other conditions that are necessary for a person to perform hajj, they have to do it again in order to fulfill the obligation of performing hajj once in a lifetime. That obligation of performing hajj once in a lifetime is obligatory on every Muslim, is obligatory on every Muslim in general. But the child, if they performed it as a child, it's not credited as having performed the hajj once in a lifetime, although there's reward for them and whoever carried them. فَلَا يَجِبْ الْحَجْ عَلَى الصَّبِيِّ. So hajj is not obligatory upon the child. وَيَصِحُّ مِنْهُ, though it is valid if he performed it. وَلَا يُجْزِيهُ عَنْ حَجَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ. So it is valid, but he is not given credit for performing حَجَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Yeah, حَجَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ means the hajj that's obligatory on a Muslim once in their lifetime. I hope that this is clear. Yani, it's not obligatory. But if he did it, it's valid. However, they would still have to perform as an adult hajj at least once in their lifetime. فَأَمَّا عَدِمَ الْوُجُوبِ. So as far as the claim that hajj is not obligatory upon a child, فَلِأَنَّهُ غَيْرُ مُكَلَّفٍ وَمَرْفُوعَ عَنْهُ الْقَلَمُ لِحَدِيثٍ رُفِيَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثَةٍ. يعني, as far as it not being obligatory upon the child, it is because he is not one who is held accountable. غير مكلف, مكلف. يعني he is not somebody that Allah has made يعني responsible to fulfill these duties. ومرفوع عنه, and it is raised up. The obligation of يعني Hajj is raised up, is removed from him. What is removed from him? يعني the accountability. The accountability. يعني مرفوع عنه القلم means that before a child reaches the age of responsibility, there's no recording of their deeds until they reach the age of responsibility. There's no recording of their deeds. They are not accountable for what they did when they were a child and they didn't know what they were doing. Allah doesn't hold them responsible in the same way He doesn't hold a person who is insane responsible for their deeds while they're insane, or the sleeping person while they're asleep. And this is based on the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رُفِيَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثَةٍ رُفِيَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثَةٍ, yani the pen has been lifted from three. Okay, I just want to read the text of this hadith as it came in Al-Wajiz on page 236, Hajj al-Sabi wal-Abd. Hajj al-Sabi wal-Abd. Under this chapter, there's a hadith mentioned. It is not obligatory upon the child nor the insane person. Based on the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, رُفِيَ الْقَلْمَ عَنْ ثَلَاثَةٍ عَنْ الْمَجْنُونَ حَتَّى يَفِيقُ, yani the pen is lifted, accountability is lifted from the insane person until they regain their sanity. وَعَنَ النَّائِمْ حَتَّى يَسْتَيْقَظْ, and the sleeping person is also, the pen is lifted, accountability is lifted until they wake up and become conscious of what they're doing. وَعَنَ الصَّبِي حَتَّى يَحْتَلِمْ, and also from the child until they reach the age of responsibility. And then under this chapter they just wrote here, this is not part of the hadith. The hadith is reported by Al-Tirmidhi, and Shaykh al-Albani mentioned in Irwa al-Galil that the hadith is sahih. And in Sahih al-Jami'a also he mentions sahih. They mention after this hadith, it is not obligatory upon the slave because he is غير مستطيع, he is not able to perform the Hajj due to him being occupied with the service of his master. In any case, the point here is the hadith. Yani the text of this hadith mentions the child, the pen is lifted, yani response, they are not accountable for their behavior, that they, whatever they engaged in while they were a child until they reached the age of responsibility. And likewise the insane person and the sleeping person. مستطيع غير مستطيع نعم وأما أنه نعم
the concept of a person who is not of their mind, the concept, I mean we have Western concepts, what's the Islamic concept of a person who's not of their mind? I mean we have for example we have people who may be labeled as post-traumatic stress.
Okay, I can't answer that question. Yeah, I don't have the medical knowledge or background to know about post-traumatic, whatever, I don't know what you said. I don't know anything about that, so I can't answer that question. But in general, yani, in Islam, majnoon means a person who is not actually conscious of the difference between what's right and wrong. They don't know the difference. Yani, their mental state is such that they could be doing something wrong, they don't know it. They don't realize that this is wrong.
So, when you say
post-traumatic? No, but there's different types of mental states that perhaps we can be talking about. So that's what I'm saying. I don't have any kind of, you know, knowledge of that kind of matter to be able to deal with that. But in Islam in general, we say the person who lost his mind, means he doesn't control his mental faculties to the extent that he doesn't distinguish, he doesn't know the difference between what's right and what's wrong. He's not really, yani, knowing. He's not conscious of the correctness or the error or the sin of his behavior. Okay? That's the general meaning of it, insane. And of course, there's a lengthy discussion concerning that, because, I mean, of course, there's all levels, right, of insanity, right? So, in that case, the person would be responsible to the extent that they know what they're doing, even if they were classified, yani, medically, clinically, as being insane. If they are conscious of some of their behavior, then they're responsible for that, for what they're conscious of. And they are not responsible for what they're not conscious of. And I think that should, yani, hopefully clarify the issue for us in terms of this discussion. That's as far as what? As far as the Hajj not being obligatory upon the child, but it is valid, though it doesn't excuse them from the obligation of performing Hajj once in a lifetime if they reach adulthood. The reason for this is because they are not, in Islam, a child is not considered to be responsible for the duties that Allah has placed on the Muslim, and the proof of that is the hadith that we mentioned, the pen has been lifted from three, one of them is the child, until they reach maturity, age of responsibility. As far as أنه يصح حجه, يعني what is the proof that his Hajj is valid, the Hajj of the child is valid? فلما روى ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن امرأة رفعت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صبيا فقالت ألهذا حج. This is the shahid in the hadith. ألهذا حج, is the Hajj for this one, pointing to the child. قال نعم ولك أجر. Yani the hadith of Ibn Abbas that's reported by Imam Muslim and others, Abu Dawud and Nasa'i in the Sunan, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, and Shaykh al-Bani in Irwa al-Galil said that it's sahih also, anna imra'a, yani that a woman raised up to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a child. She raised the child up so that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could see that it was a child. And pointing to that child, she said, a lihada hajjun. Is there hajj for this one? Yani, does this one have a right to perform hajj? Qala na'am. The Prophet said na'am. That means that if they perform Hajj, it's valid. It's valid. And then the Prophet said, Walaki ajrun. And for you is a reward. He didn't say, Walaki al ajr. Key here. Walaki al ajr would mean that they can make Hajj, but the reward is for you. He didn't say that. He said, Walaki ajrun. And there's a reward for you. And you will get some reward for this. Again, this hadith is reported by several of the collectors of hadith. Most important of them is Al-Imam Muslim. In Bulugh al-Maram, page 208, 699, this hadith is mentioned in its detail. Yani the complete hadith is mentioned in Bulugh al-Maram, عن ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقِيَ رَقْبًا لقي رقبا بالروحة فقال من القوم قالوا المسلمون فقالوا من أنت قال رسول الله فرفعت إليه امرأة صبيا فقالت ألي هذا حاج قال نعم ولك أجر رواه مسلم. This is how the hadith is mentioned in Bulugh al-Maram from Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم met a caravan of people, رقبا, يعني رقبا is the plural of راكب, means a caravan, a group of people who are riders. He met them at a place called Rawha, which is close to Medina. And he said to them, who are you people? Men al-Qawm. And it's a polite way of saying, who are you people? Who are the people? Men al-Qawm. Who are the people? Who are you people? They said, al-Muslimun. We are Muslims. Faqalu. Then they said to him, man anta? Who are you? He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I am the Messenger of Allah. Some of the scholars gave different explanations of this. What is important is that, and apparently he didn't recognize them or he didn't know them. And they also didn't recognize him or know him. So he asked who they were. They said, we are Muslims. They asked, who are you? He said, he's the Messenger of Allah. At that point, when they came to know who he was, the lady raised up the child to him and said to him, is the Hajj for this one? When did this happen? Yani, according to some of the scholars, this happened, yani, in the last days of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these people apparently were intending for Hajj. Alihada Hajj, yani is there Hajj for this person? The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, and for you is a reward. This hadith, The Shaykh Safiur Rahman Mubarak Fouri, in his explanation of this hadith, on his comments on this hadith, he said, "Wal hadith dalil ala sihhati hajj as-sabi." This hadith is a dalil for the validity of the hajj of a child. Walakin la yujzi'hu an al-fard. However, it doesn't yani eliminate his responsibility for performing the fard, yani the hajj of once in a lifetime. Yani if they reach adulthood, they still would have to perform the hajj. After this, yani going back to the textbook, it says, "Naam." It says that anna imra'a. It says that wa amma qawluhu la yujzi'hu an hajjat al-islam. As far as the fact that this does not suffice, yani the child who performed the hajj as a child from the once in a lifetime obligation of hajj, this is based upon what has been narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas as well, radiyallahu anhuma, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, ayyuma sabiy hajja bihi ahluhu famata ajza'at anhu فَإِنْ أَدْرَكَ يعني البلوغ فَعَلَيْهِ الْحَجِّ وَأَيُّمَا رَجُلٌ مَمْلُوكٌ حَجَّ بِهِ أَهْلُهُ فَمَاتَ أَجْزَأَتْ عَنْهُ فَإِنْ أُعْتِقَ فَعَلَيْهِ الْحَجِّ رواه الشافعي والبيهقي وابن أبي شيبة والطبراني. يعني the meaning of this hadith is that, وعليك السلام, any child whose people, his family, the people who are responsible for him, yani حج به أهله, his family took him for hajj, but he's a child, but his family took him for hajj, فمات أجزاد, if he died as a child before reaching purity, then he gets credit for it. فإن أدرك, but if he reached yani the age of responsibility, فعليه حج, then he has to perform the hajj of once in a lifetime. And likewise, any man who is a slave, مملوك, حج به أهله, if his family, yani the people who are responsible, his master, or the master's family took him for hajj, and he died before being freed, then ajza'at anhu, fa'in u'tiqa, but if he was freed after that time, fa'alayhi al-hajj, then he still has to make hajj. This is reported by Al-Imam al-Shafi'i himself, na'am, in his musnad, and I assume it's in his musnad, it doesn't say, but Shafi has a musnad, a book of hadith, the musnad of Imam Shafi, al-Bayhaqi in his sunan, Ibn Abi Shayba. يعني ابن أبي شيبة in his book مصنف المصنف المصنف. And by the way, ابن أبي شيبة is one of the main teachers of Imam Muslim. It is said that ابن أبي شيبة, from that which he taught Imam Muslim of hadith, the overwhelming majority of the Sahih of Muslim came from ابن أبي شيبة, 3/4 of it. Huh? Is what? I can't hear what you're saying. Imam Bukhari, I don't hear what you're saying. Yeah, he had many teachers. But I'm saying that it is said that Ibn Abi Shayba was the main, most important teacher of Imam Muslim. The majority of the hadith in Sahih Muslim came from what he learned from Ibn Abi Shayba. The only reason why I'm mentioning that is to know the significance of who is Ibn Abi Shayba. Many people never heard of Ibn Abi Shayba. Who's Ibn Abi Shayba? We heard of Bukhari, Muslim, and Abu Dawud, and Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nasai, Malik. Who's Ibn Abi Shayba? Well, he's somebody significant, very significant. Naam. Okay, so this hadith, also Al-Imam Al-Albani in Irwa al-Ghalil 986, he said that this hadith is sahih. Yani the wording of it that he mentions in Irwa is a little bit different, but it's the same hadith from Ibn Abbas, yani mentioning the child and mentioning the slave. Yani if they perform hajj as a child or a slave, and then if they grew up and reached the age of responsibility, or if they were freed, then they have to make the hajj again. فَعَلَيْهِ حَجَّ أُخْرَى وَعَلَيْهِ حَجْ أُخْرَى. And both in the narration it came like that. But the point is, the same meaning came, and Shaykh al-Bani said that this hadith is sahih. Okay, so I also want to look here, just, naam. Shaykh al-Bani said that the hadith, the wording in Irwa is slightly different, meaning is exactly the same. And the meaning of, the wording of the hadith is the same meaning though. أَيُّمَا صَبِيٌّ حَجَّ ثُمَّ بَلَغَ حَجَّ ثُمَّ بَلَغَ فَعَلَيْهِ حَجَّةٍ أُخْرَى. If he reached maturity, then he has to make Hajj again. وَأَيُّ أَيُّمَا عَبْدٌ حَجَّ ثُمَّ عُتِقَ فَعَلَيْهِ حَجَّ أُخْرَى يعني حَجَّةٌ أُخْرَى يعني the same meaning, the wording is slightly different. But the exact same meaning came. In Irwa al-Galil, I'm not sure if he mentioned, yani, some of the sources would be the same, but I can't remember exactly now. I made some notes on it, but I didn't carry them with me. In any case, you can go back to Irwa al-Galil, yani hadith number 986 in Irwa al-Galil, 986. And you can see the full discussion of this hadith from Sheikh al-Albani. Well, yeah. Also, this hadith is mentioned by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani in Bulugh al-Maram, same section of Hajj, hadith number 702. Hadith 702 in the commentary of Sheikh Shafir al-Rahman, it's on page 209, hadith number 702. Same hadith that we just read, wording is again slightly different in Bulugh al-Maram. يعني أيما سبي حجة ثم بلغ الحنثة ثم بلغ الحنثة. That word didn't come in the other narrations. بلغ الحنثة means reach the age of يعني حنثة sin الإثم, that sins are recorded against him. Meaning he reached the age of responsibility where sin is recorded him. فعليه أن يحج حجة أخرى. Then it is obligatory upon him if he reached the age where sins are recorded against him, meaning age of responsibility, it's obligatory upon him to perform another Hajj, yani the Hajj once in a lifetime. وَأَيْمَا عَبْدٍ حَجَّ ثُمَّ عُعْتِقَ فَعَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَحُجَّ حَجَّةً أُخْرَى. Same exact meaning, is wording is a little bit different, but the meaning is exactly the same. Here in Bulugh al-Maram he said that رواه ابن أبي شيبة والبيهقي. ابن أبي شيبة والبيهقي ورجاله ثقات. الحافظ ابن حاجر الأسكناني said its narrators are reliable, trustworthy narrators. إِلَّا أَنَّهُ اخْتَلَفَ فِي رَفْعِهِ والمحفوظ أنه موقوف. This is an interesting comment that Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani says, and he says to Ibn Abi Shayb al Bayhaqi, the narrators are thiqat, except that there's a difference of opinion concerning it being marfu'un or mawqufun. Yani marfu'un is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or mawqufun attributed to the companion, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah. There's difference of opinion. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani says, wal-mahfuz, yani the one that is correct, is that it is mawquf. Is that it's mawquf. In any case, there's difference of opinion about it, that's what he said. In his view, what is more correct is that it is mawquf on Ibn Abbas, that is from Ibn Abbas, Shaykh al-Albani said that it's sahih marfu'un. As far as this hadith, the commentary concerning it is simply explaining what is meant by al-hinth, yani balag al-hinth, yani reach the age of responsibility where sins are yani recorded against that person. After this, the second point, yani the five conditions al-Islam, al-bulugh, al-aql, al-hurriya, and istita'a. The first condition we talked about Islam, the second condition we talked about al-bulugh. The third condition that's mentioned in our textbook, وَأَمَّا الْأَقْلُ, as far as the aql, the intellect, فَهُوَ شَرْط وُجُوب وَصِحَّ وَإِجْزَاءَ. He mentioned three things here. The having sanity, a person possessing their mental faculties, is a condition for Hajj to be obligatory, and it is also a condition in order for it to be accepted and considered as valid. And it is also a condition for a person to be given credit for having performed the Hajj of once in a lifetime. Three things, he mentioned all of them here. Yani in other words, if a person is not sane, he's not obligated to make Hajj. And if he did, it's not valid. And therefore, he's not given credit for it. It's clear? Person is insane, they're not obligated to make Hajj. But even if they did, the Hajj is not valid because they don't really know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. What's the benefit? Yani worshiping Allah requires niyyah. Person has to have intention. In order to have intention, a person has to know what they're doing, that they're intending consciously to do it for the sake of Allah alone. The insane person is not capable of that. So therefore, yani al-aql, having sanity, is a condition not only for the obligation of Hajj, it's also a condition for the validity of the Hajj and for a person being given credit for having performed the Hajj. And this is because the aql is the manat at-taklif, at-takalif, al-shara'iyya. Yani that the intellect, having yani mental faculties intact, is the center, the core, the basis of at-takalif al-shara'iyya. All sharia responsibilities are based upon a person having sanity. Yani meaning, yani there's no obligation on a person who doesn't have control of their mental faculties. And this goes back to the hadith that we mentioned for the child, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, "Rufi al-qalam an thalatha." The pen is lifted from three. One of them is the child, and another of them is the majnoon, the saint, the person who's insane until they regain their sanity. Now, the fourth shart of wujub al-hajj wa amma al-hurriya. Hurriya means what? Person has their freedom. They're not in bondage. They're not in slavery. Al-hurriya.
Yes, Shaykh.
Just say that again.
At-takalif
al-shara'iyya. At-takalif al-shara'iyya. Yani the legal responsibilities that are coming from the sharia. That are from the sharia. As far as hurriya, فَهُوَ شَرْطُ وُجُوبُ وَإِجْزَاءُ. Note, it's a shart for wujub and ijza, meaning that a person being free is a condition for hajj to be obligatory. It has to be free, otherwise it's not obligatory. And it's also a condition for ijza, yani for being given credit. The person has to be free. We didn't say it's not valid, but if he's not given credit, meaning that if they became free, then they have to make hajj once in a lifetime. They still have to make their hajj, okay? So, being free, yarhamukallah, being free is a condition for hajj being obligatory. Person is not free, it's not obligatory. And second, it's also a condition for them being given credit. They have to be free. Otherwise, if they perform the hajj while they're in bondage, in slavery, the hajj is valid. But if they became free, it didn't count as their once in a lifetime obligatory hajj. They have to do it again. That's clear? And there's a difference between it being valid and being given credit for it as eliminating the responsibility of hajj once in a lifetime.
Okay. What about if they died?
Huh?
If they died. Yeah, they free. Well, they were supposed to perform hajj, but they died because they were not free.
If they were not, no, it means that if they became free and they had the ability to perform hajj, it's obligatory upon them with the shurut of hajj, right? What is the shurut for wujub al-hajj? Then they have to have the other things intact. Once they became free, then they also have to have istithar. They have to have the ability, they have to have the means, they have to have transportation, they have to have free, good health, they have to have yani free, safe passage. Safe passage, not free passage. They have to pay for the plane. Not free passage, safe passage. But if they died as a slave, they were given credit for it. They were given credit for it if they died as a slave. That's how the hadith mentions it. Naam. So the hurriya, freedom, is a condition for the obligation of hajj and a condition for you being accredited with having to perform hajj once in a lifetime. فَلَا يَجُبَ الْحَجْ عَلَى الرَّقِيقِ. So, hajj is not obligatory upon the slave. وَيَصِحُّ حَجُّهُ. But his hajj is valid if his people took him on hajj. It's valid. وَلَا يُجْزِعُ. But he is not credited on حَجَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ, the once in a lifetime obligatory hajj. أَمَّا كَوْنُهُ لَا يَجِبْ عَلَيْهِ. What is the proof that it's not obligatory upon him? فَإِنَّ الْحَجْ عِبَادَةٌ تَحْتَجْ إِلَى وَقْتٍ وَاسْتِطَاعَةٍ. Yani because hajj is an act of worship that requires time. Requires time and ability. وَالْعَبْدْ مَشْغُولْ بِحُقُوقْ مَوْلَاهُ وَغَيْرُ مُسْتَطِيعُ. While the hajj requires time and ability, the slave is occupied full time, not 8 hours a day. Slave, right? That means they don't have no time of their own. He's occupied with fulfilling the rights of his master, and therefore he is not able. He is not able. Wallahu ta'ala yaqul, and Allah said in the Quran, Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 97th ayat, والله تعالى يقول ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. يعني that for Allah, Allah has the right over the people that they perform pilgrimage to the house, من استطاع إليه سبيلا. Whoever has the ability to find a way there, استطاع إليه سبيلا, has the ability to get يعني their way, make their way to يعني مكة. So the slave يعني doesn't have that ability. They don't have the time, nor do they have the other things that are necessary. They don't have control over their movement or their time, and they don't have any wealth of their own. Slave doesn't have any wealth. They don't own anything. The slave and whatever they possess belongs to their master. أَمَّا قَوْلُهُ يَصِحُّ حَجُّهُ فَإِنَّ حَجَّهُ صَحِيحٌ بِلَا خِلَافٍ. As far as his hajj being valid, then the hajj of the slave is valid without, yani there's no difference of opinion concerning this matter. And of course, yani a proof of this is the hadith that we mentioned earlier about the child and the slave. That if they performed hajj as a child or as a slave, then yani they became adult or free, they have to make it again. But if they didn't, then that hajj, yani in one of the narrations, ajza'at, yani he get credit for it. Unless they became free or they can't reach adult, then they have to make it the once in a lifetime obligatory hajj. Otherwise, yani their hajj is accredited to them if they died as a child or they died in slavery. As far as أما كونه لا يجزيه عن حجة الإسلام فللحديث المتقدم في حج الصبي, يعني the hadith that we just mentioned about the child, the same hadith is a proof that their hajj, that they are giving credit for it, that they are giving credit for it. فقد ذكر فيه المملوك, the slave is also mentioned in the hadith about the child. No.
Is this the same case of the child who has been rededicated to maturity? Because the master gets a reward for allowing the slave to perform hajj.
Allahu a'lam. Yani, does the master get the reward for allowing the slave to perform? Well, as far as the child, yani nass al hadith ala hadha, right? The text of the hadith clearly states that there is a reward for the mother who took her child. She raised the child up, and the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, there's hajj for him, and there's also a reward for you, meaning for taking him, for facilitating the affair for the child. You would think that the same is applicable for the master who allows his slave, who carries him, who spends on him to go to hajj, then inshallah there's a reward for him. But there's no text that I'm aware of for that, but it seems by qiyas, yani if we believe in qiyas, yani then inshallah we're going to make qiyas, right? Because their condition is almost the same. Yani they're dependent and on somebody else to give them permission, to give them time, to spend on their traveling, to go and come. They're dependent in the same way a child is dependent, in the same way a slave is dependent. So you would think that the one who allows them, who gives them permission and gives them the time to do so and spends on them, that they would also get some reward for this as a general principle in Islam. That's a general principle in Islam, right? Right? Is that a general principle in Islam? That whoever facilitates somebody doing good, that they get some reward?
That's the hadith.
Huh?
The hadith.
Huh?
Falahu.
مثل فاعله. نعم. Yeah, even the person who directs somebody to doing good, they will get reward like the one who does it, following their direction, or their advice, or their encouragement, or their instruction, or whatever. نعم. Okay, the last point is الاستطاعة. يعني, the last point of these affairs is الاستطاعة. يعني, we talked about Islam, we talked about sanity, we talked about reaching responsibility, freedom, and the last point, أَمَّا الْإِسْتِطَاعَ. الْإِسْتِطَاعَ. This is the last of the conditions that make Hajj obligatory. فَهُوَ شَرْطٌ لِلْوُجُوبِ. And they said what? It is a condition for Hajj to be obligatory. A person has to be able. So a person who is able, they are not obligated to make Hajj. So there is no sin against them if they are not able. Although there may be some details, but the general rule is clear. The person who is not able, there's no obligation on them. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we mentioned previously, Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 97th Ayah, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ Hajjul Bayt man istata'a ilayhi sabila. That Allah has a right over the people that they perform pilgrimage to the house, yani to the Kaaba in Mecca, whoever has the ability to find a way to reach there. Then they said, وَبِمَا تَتَحَقَّقُ الْإِسْتِطَاعَةُ. Yani what is the meaning? وَبِمَا تَتَحَقَّقُ الْإِسْتِطَاعَةُ. And what is that?
What can
the
istita'a be actualized?
تَتَحَقَّقُ. بِمَا تَتَحَقَّقُ. بِمَا, with what? What are the means through which istita'a, one's ability, can be realized? Yani with what? بِمَا. With what? What is it that a person needs in order to realize, to achieve the istita'a? This istita'a, that's the condition. How can a person have istita'a? What are the things that are necessary for it? تَتَحَقَّقُ وَالْإِسْتِطَاعَ بِمَا يَلِي. Yani it is achieved, it is realized by the following. Number one, صِحَّةُ الْبَدَن. Meaning? Being healthy. Physical health, good health. صِحَّةُ الْبَدَن. Number two, أَمْنُ الطَّرِيق. Safe road. Yani safety of the road. Literally, yani safe. Safety of the road. Yani that is safe to travel. That is safe to travel. Number three, milk azad. Possessing provisions. The provisions for traveling, to go and to come back and so on, to take care of them while they're away. Possessing the provisions. And number four, milk arrahila. The rahila, yani the transportation, the means of transportation. Having possession of the means, the finance, and having possession of the means of transportation. And they said, لِمَنْ هُوَ بَعِيد عَنْ مَكَّةَ. And this is in reference to the one who is far from Mecca. And as far as the people in Mecca, they don't need any rahila, because they can walk from Mecca to where? First. Yeah, to the Kaaba, na'am. But I mean, the Hajj starts where? Where does it? What place?
From their home.
And transportation, you need transportation to go where? If you're in Mecca, you need transportation to go where? You need transportation to go to Mina. You got to go to Mina. And from Mina, you have to go to? To Arafah. And from Arafah, you have to go to? Or from Mina to Muzdalifah, naam. And from Muzdalifah to Arafah, and from Arafah back to Muzdalifah?
No, from
Arafah. Arafah to Muzdalifah. And Muzdalifah
back to Mina.
Back to Mina and then to Mecca. Now, so the point is that a person needs some transportation to go to Hajj. But if you're already in Mecca, to go from Mecca to Mina, from Mina to Arafah, from Arafah to Muzdalifah, and Muzdalifah to Mina is walking distance. Yani it's all a few miles. It's only miles. Yani going from Mecca to Mina is walking distance. You can walk it if you're young. I have walked it many times. I don't know about now, but in the older days now, we used to walk, no problem. The buses don't move. The roads are too crowded. Now, So the thing here is, right, that they're saying here, if a person is already in Mecca, then they don't need transportation, because you can walk. Basically, people can walk. During the Hajj, everything that you have to do in Hajj, you can walk. So then, what are the things that are necessary to achieve, to realize al-istita'a, the ability that is a condition of the obligation of Hajj? Person has to have good health, physical good health, safe roads, possession of the financial means, and transportation. And here under istita'a, we have the fifth point, that specifically to women, wujud mahram lil mar'ati, the presence of a mahram for the woman, because woman is not allowed to travel without a mahram for a day and a night, or for 3 days and three nights, and so on, as mentioned in various hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, you're saying is a woman required to have a mahram to go and study?
They're going to study, they're not married, but
To go and study, you mean like to get on the train and go to Manhattan? To go to another city, another state, another country? Absolutely. It's not permissible to travel, for a woman to travel without a mahram. Absolutely. Not permissible for a woman to travel without a mahram. Not for education. Certainly if she can't travel without a mahram for Hajj, Hajj is more important than going to school. Naam. In any case, yes, she has to have a mahram. Yani somebody has to take her there, and somebody has to bring her back.
But not from here to Manhattan.
Not from here to Manhattan, that might be a little different.
Now,
is it in reference to what I just said?
Yes.
That's not clear?
No.
I'm going to clarify it now. Okay?
The Muharram, because they do it right now, I see myself. Ladies and the woman and the man, the husband, they don't get the chance to go together.
No, she has to have a mahram. Doesn't matter if they get a chance to go together or not. She has to have. Don't have to be a husband. It could be her brother. It could be her father. It could be her son if he's an adult. It's okay.
All that don't happen. I see them taking the for the visa problem. They say they have to choose someone there who can be a mahram. And you say
the mahram has to be the person that she's permanently prohibited from marriage. It has to be her father or her brother or her son. A person she can't marry. Naam, the mahram has to be a person she can't marry. From her near relatives. Person she can't marry permanently. In any case, in Al-Wajiz, on page 238, actually it begins on page 237, it says, this is under the title of Istithar. Ma hiya al-Istithar? Hajj al-Mar'a. What about the Hajj of the woman? They said, if the conditions that are necessary, that we have mentioned, of istitaa, if all those conditions are met, she has good health and the means and transportation and safe roads, all those things are there, wajib alayha hajj kalrajul tamaman illa annahu yashtarit fi haqqiha shart zaid huwa an yashabaha zawjun aw mahramun. Yani that the woman, if all the conditions of istitaa that we mentioned, if they're all present, it's obligatory upon her to make hajj just as it is for a man. Exactly, except that there's one further condition in reference to women, and that is an extra condition. It is the condition that she has to be accompanied by her husband or a mahram, a close male relative, yani who's from the prohibited degrees. She has to be accompanied by her husband or a mahram. Wait a minute. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَجِدْ فَلَيْسَتْ مُسْتَطِيعَةٌ. And if she didn't find the mahram, then she's not able. She's not able. And this is based upon that which is narrated from Abdul ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, لَا يَخْلُوَنَّ رَجُلٌ بِإِمْرَأَةٍ إِلَّا وَمَاهَا ذُو مَحْرَمٍ. That no man should be in seclusion alone with any woman, except that along with her is a mahram, a close male relative. وَلَا تُسَافِرْ الْمَرْأَةُ إِلَّا مَا ذِي مَحْرَمٍ. And no woman should travel except that she has with her a mahram. فَقَامَ رَجُلٌ فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ إِمْرَأَتِي خَرَجَتْ حَاجَةً. When the Prophet said that, a man stood up and said, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ wait a minute, my wife has gone out for hajj. She already left. خَرَجَتْ وَإِنِّي أُقْتُتِبْتُ فِي غَزْوَةٍ كَذَا وَكَذَا. And I have been written, yani enlisted. I didn't enlist myself, but somebody wrote me down for the غزوة, such and such battle. فَقَالَ انْتَلِقْ فَحَجَّ مَا إِمْرَأَتِكَ. The Prophet ﷺ told him, go forth and perform hajj with your wife. And you forget about, you were written down to go out in the battle, forget about that. Go and catch up with your wife and make hajj with her. Hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and the wording exactly here is from Muslim. Wording is from Muslim. So, I mean, this hadith, without going into any details, this hadith makes us to know what? The importance of the woman having a mahram. Yani this hadith is so important because why? Because the man said that I'm enlisted. Already I've been written down to go out into battle, to fight in jihad. And the Prophet said, forget about that. It's your wife and needs you to go with her. Go and catch up with your wife and make hajj with her. Prophet canceled him going out to the jihad and told him to go with your wife. How more important can it be than a woman have her husband go with her to make hajj or mahram? How more important could it be? What could be more important than him being with her hajj, not even jihad? I mean, if that's not clear, I don't know what could be clear. The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. Hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. People are doing all kinds of things. No doubt. People are doing all kinds of things every day. What can we do? Yani? What can we do? We don't have control over that. And we have control of ourselves, and we're responsible for ourselves. The point is that the point of this study is not academic study. And it's for us to know what is right and what is wrong. What can be done and what can't be done. What must be done and what must not be done. It's for us to know. Yani hajj is an obligation on every Muslim, okay, in general and specifically on the person who fulfills the conditions of obligation of hajj. So if we know that these are the conditions that make it obligatory upon us, and those conditions are fulfilled in us, then it becomes a serious matter now. And it's not a matter of, I could put it off, I got other important things to do right now, you know, I'm doing this or that, I'm in school, I'm getting ready to get married, and this and that and the other, so, you know, we have to put this off for the next trip. Any next years, or whenever, or when I get old, or when, whatever, I don't know. Yani, we have to know that this is a serious matter. And these things are, yani, the whole discussion, the point of the discussion is for us to know what makes hajj obligatory upon us, and then we have to apply that to ourselves and also help other people who might be fulfilling those conditions and not making hajj. Then we have to actually learn this so that we can tell people, you know, you should be making hajj. There are too many people like that. What are you talking about? You have? We all have, yani. We all have so many people. Okay. In any case, the last thing that they're saying here now they're going into the details of the istita'a. Yani, the last point is istita'a, and they said that what is necessary to realize istita'a, healthy, good physical health, safety of the way, possession of the finance, and the transportation, and for the woman, she has to have a mahram. Now, the details of these things, and it's not detailed, but it's a little bit of explanation of each one of these points. Now, I'm just saying that these are some of the things that we might give preference to over the obligation of hajj. So, sure, there can be some discussion. A person, you know, is in need of doing something that might, generally speaking, not be as important as hajj, but maybe their condition might be a little bit different, right? So there could be, you know, like every person who wants to get married is not in the same condition. Okay? There's one person who wants to get married, and he is hard-pressed to get married. He's having trouble. She's having trouble. They need to get married. Other person, they're not married, and they want to get married, and they intend to get married, but they're okay right now. So if they got married this year or next year, they're good. It's okay. They're not in the same. These people are not the same, so their condition is going to be different. One person, he wants to get married, and he's never been married. And the other person, he wants to get married, but he's been married before. Or he's married now. He already has a wife, but he wants to get another wife. So they're not the same, right? So when you talk about marriage, everybody's condition is not the same. This person, he wants to get married, this person wants to get married, but their conditions are different. He has a wife, he has no wife. He has no wife and he has no wife, but he's been married before. He has never been married before. Their condition is not the same. Okay? There are different conditions for people. Some people, they're in a society, in a filthy, immoral society, where the men and women are intermingling, people are not dressing decently, there's all kind of other kind of stuff happening. And another person is in a Muslim country where there's no intermingling and women are dressing decently and people are, yani, upon Islam. It's, wallah, it's not the same. It's not the same. It's just not the same. So we have to consider all those things. We're just talking in general that this is an obligation, a very important obligation, a pillar of Islam, and the Muslims should take it seriously and try to do the best they can. Naam. Wa alaykum salaam. Okay, as far as these things that are part of istita'a, sihat al-badin, amn al-tariq, milk al-zad, wa milk al-rahila, wa wujud mahram lil-mar'a. Wa alaykum salaam. Fa'in kana maridan. Okay, as far as the having good health, physical health. Fa'in kana maridan, aw shaykhan. If a person was sick, or they were elderly, very old, lazimahu inabatu ghayrihi liyahujja anhu. Person is sick from a sickness that they don't expect recovery from, or they're old and they can't any get on a plane or a bus or a train, then it's obligatory upon that person if all other yani conditions are fulfilled. But the only thing is, as their ability is hampered by their physical health, they are very, very sick, or they're very, very elderly and they can't travel, then it is obligatory on that person to appoint somebody to perform Hajj on their behalf. This is very important. It's obligatory. Lazimahu. It's obligatory for that person to appoint somebody to make Hajj on their behalf. Everything else is there, except that physically they have the money and everything, but physically they can't travel. They can't get on a plane. Some people may have a respiratory condition, and they're on some kind of machinery or treatment or whatever. They can't go on high altitudes. They can't get on a plane. So how are you going to go? Yani, you have to go across land, across water, across... Maybe you can't make it. That person can't make it. They have to appoint somebody on their behalf. This is based on the hadith of Fadl ibn Abbas, reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim, and the Jama'ah, the others. Fadl ibn Abbas, anna imra'a min khash'am, or qaf'am, qalat ya Rasulullah, إن فريضة الله على عباده في الحج أدرك أبي شيخا كبيرا لا يستطيع أن يثبت على الراحلة أفحج عنه؟ قال نعم وذلك في حج الوداع حجة الوداع رواه الجماعة نعم Naam, they have to have already done Hajj. Inshallah, we're going to talk about that too. Naam. Yani, the person who is appointed to perform Hajj for someone else, they have to have made Hajj for themselves first. Naam. We're going to come to that too, inshallah. We're going to come to that too. Fadl ibn Abbas. Naam. Naam, Fadl. Yani, the brother of Abdul ibn Abbas. Fadl ibn Abbas. Radiallahu anhu. He's the brother of Abdul ibn Abbas. That's the hadith. Naam. That a woman from Qatham, a tribe of the Arabs, she said, O Messenger of Allah, indeed the obligation that Allah has placed upon His servants for Hajj has reached my father, while his condition is that he's an old man, Shaykhan Kabiran. لا يستطيع أن يثبت على الراحلة. He's not able to sit on a riding animal. Shall I perform Hajj for him on his behalf? The Prophet said, Naam. And then it's mentioned, وَذَلِكَ فِي حِجَّةِ الْوَدَاءِ, that was in the farewell pilgrimage, reported by Al-Jama'ah, yani Bukhari, Muslim and others. This particular hadith is also mentioned in Al-Wajiz in detail. Mentioned in Al-Wajiz in detail. Or maybe it's in Bulugh Maram. One of them. Yeah, okay. So it's mentioned in Bulugh Maram. Hadith number 700. In which it's reported that Al-Fadl ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he was riding behind the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a woman came from Qatham. فَجَعَلَ الْفَضْلُ يَنْظُرْ إِلَيْهَا. And Fadl, he began to look at her. وَتَنْظُرْ إِلَيْهِ. And she began to look at him. فَجَعَلَ النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يُسْرِفْ وَجْهَهُ وَجْهَ فَضْلُ إِلَى شَكَلْ آخَرْ. And the Prophet began to turn the face of Fadl to the other side. And then that woman said, Ya Rasulullah, yani the obligation of Allah of Hajj upon his servants has reached my father while he's an old man, he's not able to ride on a riding animal, should I make Hajj for him? And he said, yes, and that was in the farewell pilgrimage, Muttafaqun Alayh. Okay, so this is the complete wording of the hadith that Ibrahim is referring to. Now, that part is not significant to the topic, so it was left out from the hadith here. Which is normal, yani that when scholars mention hadith, they usually mention the shahid, the part of the hadith that's applicable. But in any case, in the hadith there is a reference to yani Al-Fadl ibn Abbas, he was riding on the riding animal of the Prophet behind him. And when the encounter came with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that woman, Fadl was, he had looked at the lady and she had looked at him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned him away, which was sufficient. Yani, unlike today. Right? Well, I mean, there's a lesson in that, right? Because that was sufficient. That's all he did, was just turn him away. He didn't even have to say anything. He just turned him away, and he understood that you shouldn't be looking. Human being looks, right? And the Prophet ﷺ said, the first look is for you, and the second one is against you. So he turned away, and that's the end of the matter. There's no any shame in that. Well, that's another discussion that we're going to come to, inshallah. We're not finished yet, but we are finished on our time. Yeah, we'll finish. We'll stop here. Yani, what remains is the discussion concerning the other matters of istita'a. Yani, the safe passage, the possession of the finance and the means of transportation, and the for the woman, the presence, yani, of a mahram to accompany her. Okay, we'll talk about these in the next session, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, and maybe look at some of the other hadith that Sheikh Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani has mentioned in Bulugh al-Muram. We're going to stop here at this particular point, and also we're going to look at yani this topic, wa alaykum salam, as it was presented by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. He mentions yani what are the shurut of wujub al-hajj. We're going to look at his discussion, which is a detailed discussion, and actually he makes some points that we didn't like mention in our discussion so far. So in addition to what we have discussed, we're going to look at what he has said and get some further benefits from that in the next session, bathing the Ayat, and then we'll be finished with this topic. Now,
would it be safe to say that the woman having a mahram?
Yeah, mahram.
The person marries, this is an extra responsibility that the man will have to take his wife to Hajj, because she knows where he is.
Yeah, is this an extra responsibility that a man will have when he marries a woman, that he has to take her to Hajj? Yes. To a great extent. Yani, either he has to take her, or find somebody from her male relatives, her son or her brother or her father or somebody that she can't marry, uncle, grandfather, to take her. Yani, but yeah, if he marries a woman, then he should be concerned about making sure that she makes Hajj. If she has her own finance, she has to pay for herself. Allahu a'lam.
Now, yeah, so going with group of other women, is this not permissible?
A woman going with a group of women without a mahram?
Yeah, they're responsible. They are members.
Yeah.
And they're responsible with the mahram.
They're responsible people and all of that.
And then they perform Hajj. Would this Hajj not be
acceptable? Would the Hajj not be acceptable? I'm not going to say the Hajj is not acceptable. That's a big one, right? What Allah accepts from whoever He wills. But the point is, it's haram. If a person commits an act of sin during the Hajj or during the Salat or during fasting, does that mean it became invalid? We're not saying it became invalid. But it's haram though. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that no woman should travel without a mahram. So if a woman travels without a mahram, she's committing a sin. That's haram. But as far as the validity of the Hajj, we're not saying that the Hajj is invalid. But she's engaged in sin, clear sin, no doubt about it. The opinion of a woman traveling with a woman rejects the hadith. How many numerous hadith reported in Bukhari and Muslim where the Prophet ﷺ said, mutlaqan, that a woman cannot travel without a mahram? He said, a woman cannot travel without a mahram for a day and a night. He said, a woman cannot travel without a mahram for 3 days and three nights. So many hadith like this, where the Prophet ﷺ prohibited a woman from traveling without a mahram. And then I'll close by saying, to clarify the issue a little bit, because we're out of time, we're going to stop here. Look, brother, who has been to Hajj? Who here has been to Hajj? Type 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, a lot of people have been to Hajj, okay? So all the people that have been here for Hajj, what I want to ask you to challenge me on what I'm about to say. You've been to Hajj, you can tell me, feel free, don't be ashamed to say I don't agree with that. Would you allow your wife to go on Hajj with a group of women without a man to protect her in the situation that she's going to be in Hajj? Having been to Hajj, Do you agree that a woman should can go without a man to protect her? She can go and make tawaf around the Kaaba with 100,000 people, men and women just knocking people down and falling over and getting hurt, and you're going to leave a woman out there by herself? Who's going to protect her? The other women that are with her? What if there's a problem during the journey? Are women going to protect women, or a man is going to protect the woman? That's just like putting a woman on the plane and having her brother waiting for her on the other side. And what happens if the plane has to come down before it reaches that city? An emergency lands someplace else, and when she gets there, there's nobody there for her. Who's going to take care of her? Those other women? How are they going to take care of her? That's the blind leading the blind. They can't take care of themselves. They need a man to take care of them. They need their husbands to take care of them, and their husbands are not there to take care of them. They're going to take care of each other. How? I've been to Hajj several times, 6 or 7 or 8 times, and I've never been on a Hajj where a woman was by herself except she had trouble, all kinds of problems, all kinds of situations, all kinds of dangers, not just physical danger. Her honor and her integrity is going to be challenged if she's by herself. And there's not going to be anybody there to look out for her, to take care of her. A woman can't do that. A woman can't do that. Yeah, and if a woman wants to get married, can a woman be her guardian? How can she take care of her? A man has to do that. A man has to do that. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, no woman is allowed to travel mutlaqan unless there is with her a mahram. For a day and a night, or for 3 days and a night, or for any travel whatsoever. Wallahu alam. And we're going to stop here, inshallah. Yani, after the class, we can have more discussion, or we can bring up important questions that's related to our subject in the next session. Yani, when we complete this, please excuse me because it is time and somebody might have to leave or something, they might have to go, and we don't hold people. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.